Amen. How many of you know you can know? You can know what the will of the Lord is. You can know His plan for your life. You don't have to be left out in the dark. You can know. We can know. I can know what the will of the Lord is concerning us. And that's what we're endeavoring to teach on. That's what we're endeavoring to learn, is how to walk with God. And part of walking with the Lord is not just fellowshipping with Him, but it's Him fellowshipping with you, leading you, guiding you, teaching you. And you have that right as a son and daughter of God to be led by Him. And so we're going to teach on that this evening, pick up where we left off last week, and really lay a foundation in some things this evening. So open up your Bibles with me, if you have them, to the book of Romans. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands, and our happy ushers will be more than delighted. They'll be thrilled to give you a Bible and place it in your hands. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. It's yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it, you can just give it back to those ushers at the end of the service. If on the screens you can pull up for me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 on the screens. We're going to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 in our Bibles. Watch what it says here in Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons," or we could say children, "of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself," a correct translation would be Himself, "beareth witness." He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice this in verse 14. "For as many as are led," everyone say led, "by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Notice this, sons of God, children of God, ought to be led by the Spirit of God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be led by God. That means you ought to be hearing from God. That means you ought to know His will concerning your life. You ought to be led. And so many people in this life today who are even born again, they've never even had an inkling of an idea concerning the will of God for their life because they don't understand how this works. Friend, God can speak to you. In fact, I'll say this, He is speaking to you. He talks to you a lot more than you know, but the problem is people don't realize it. They don't discern it. They don't recognize, if you will, the voice of the Lord. Like we talked about last Wednesday, like Samuel in the Old Testament, the Lord was speaking unto him, but he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And it's the same with many children today, children of God today. They don't realize that God is speaking to them. And the reason why they don't realize it is because they don't know where to look. We see here that not only in verse 14 does God want to lead you and guide you, but we see the way He's going to do it 99% of the time. Now, this is not the only way He's going to lead you, but it is the dominant way He's going to lead you. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself does what? Bears witness. Now, we're going to come back to that word witness probably in a couple of weeks from now on a different Wednesday night. But notice, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our what?
Spirit.
With our what?
Spirit.
Spirit, that we are the children of God. In verse 14, we see it's God's will to lead you. If you're a son of God, a child of God, you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, what's the way the Holy Spirit leads? What's the way He teaches you? What's the way He guides you? What's the way He leads you into all truth? He bears witness with your spirit. Not your mind, not your intellect, not your flesh. The Holy Spirit bears witness. A witness, what does a witness do? You know, there's been a big murder trial on TV. I'm sure some of you guys have seen it. But a witness will get up and do what? Testify of what they know, of what they've seen, of what they've heard. They'll get up and they're, you know, they should be telling the truth. They'll get up and witness and testify to something that they've seen, something that they know, something that they understand. The Holy Spirit bears witness. He testifies to you what he knows, what he sees, what he understands. He bears witness with your spirit. Now, the problem with so many people is they don't understand they're a three-part being. Friend, if you don't understand that you are a spirit, then it's impossible for you to ever be led by the Spirit of God, because that's the part of you he's speaking to. He bears witness with your spirit. And the reason why people are not hearing from God like they should, it's not because he's not talking. They just don't know where to check. It's like we talked about last week. If you're expecting a phone call, what do you keep checking? Your phone. You see if you missed a call. You see if you got a voicemail. And if it's an important phone call, yes, a lot of times you'll check it every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes to see if someone's called you. That person's relayed a message to you. Well, why do you check the phone? Because that's the avenue they're going to contact you through. Well, if the Holy Spirit's bearing witness, he's testifying of what he knows to your spirit, where's the part of you you're going to have to check? Your spirit, that's the part of you you're going to have to keep looking. And a wise man would check his spirit a lot more than he checks his phone. You look to the inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Now, friends, you've got to access this by faith. You've got to have faith that the Lord is leading you, and he will do exactly what he said he would do in Romans 8:14. And he would lead you, and he will guide you. You can't get so mental that you talk yourself out of this. Go to the book of John. This is not my message, or exactly what I thought I was going to preach on. But we'll go in this direction for a minute, and we'll come back to this. Go to the book of John. John chapter 20. And notice here in verse 24. John, and you can keep it on the screens on 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. The book of John, Big John, John chapter 20, and look here in verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, I want to see it. I want to put my hands in the print of the nails. I want to put my finger into the print of the nails. I want to thrust my hand into his side, or else I will not believe. What's he saying? I've got to have some tangible proof of this. I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. Now, what is Thomas being? He's being very flesh-minded. He wants obvious proof in the natural that God is real, that Jesus is still alive. And we see in verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. That'll change your intellect. You're sitting there in a room praying, and all of a sudden Jesus walks through a wall. And watch this. He says unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. What's he saying? You can't walk by faith and keep looking for physical evidence. See, people are waiting to see a change in their body before they believe they're healed. That's not faith. Faith believes it receives when it prays. Not when it feels different, but when it releases faith. And it's the same thing with being led by the Spirit. I talk to people all the time as a pastor that come down and say, I just can't hear from God. I want to know what God's plan is for my life, but it's like the Lord is never talking to me. Friends, you got to access this by faith. You can't wait to feel it or see it or sense it. No, you got to believe Romans 8:14 that if you are a child of God, you are being led by the Spirit of God. That would look like every morning you get up saying, I'm a child of God and I know the voice of my Lord, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I know His voice. I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things. His Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit. Just as Jesus was led in Luke chapter 4 to go into the wilderness, I'm led by the Spirit. I know what to do. I know what the will of the Lord is concerning me. Well, see, what are you doing? You're accessing the promise of God by faith. You're not waiting to see it or sense it or touch it before you believe it. You take Romans 8:14 as what God is saying to you and believe you're led. Amen. I'm led by the Spirit of God. God's more real to me and His voice is more real to me than the sound of my own voice. I know Him. I walk with Him. I fellowship with Him. I say this every morning. I know my God. I just as Enoch walked with Him, I walk with Him. Just as John knew Him and knew Him intimately, I know Him intimately. He reveals Himself unto me. I will come to know my Lord better and better. I know His voice. Well, what are you doing? You're accessing the promise of God through faith, the same way you access all the other promises. So you can't wait to see it or touch it or feel it. He's not bearing witness with your flesh. You can't overthink this. It's as simple as Romans 8:14 says it is. He's going to lead you. How's He going to lead you? Just like Romans 8:16. He's going to bear witness with your spirit. Don't overanalyze it. Don't overthink it. Don't be like Thomas and say, I need to see some proof of it before I believe it. No, just accept it. He is going to lead you. Well, how's He going to do it? He bears witness with your spirit. Man is a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, you're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Your flesh, it's like a glove. It's not the real hand. The flesh is like a glove in that it goes over the hand. But if you take your hand out of that glove becomes lifeless. It's the same way with your spirit. Your spirit man is the real you. Peter called it in 1 Peter 3, and chapter 3 and verse 3, the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. You take someone's spirit out of their body, and their body becomes as lifeless as a glove. If you've ever been to a funeral or see someone in a casket, you know that's not them. Why? The real them is their spirit. The real them is the part of them that when you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. Well, who's you? The real you, your spirit. And that's the part of you that God communicates through or to. That's the part of you that He's bearing witness with. So many people don't even think in terms of being a spirit being. You read the writings of Paul, I mean all throughout the epistles, and you see the way he talks about himself. I put my body under. Think about that. Paul was aware that he was a spirit being. He knew that he was going to put his body under. Well, he's not just talking about willpower there. He's coming to terms with the fact that he is a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. The problem with so many people is they're more mind conscious or body conscious than they are spirit conscious. They're more aware of their feelings of the body or the reason of their mind that they never yield or come to the place where they're aware of their spirit. And if you want to be led by the Spirit, that's the part you need to be aware of. The part of you you need to be looking to is your spirit. Think about it. If you've got a question of wondering what to do, what part of you do you check? Think about it. How many people will sit there and think about it for 4 hours, just thinking about what we should do? How are we going to pay these bills? Sit down and talk about it with the spouse for hours. Call up a friend or a relative. What are they doing? They're functioning off reason. Why? That's how they function their entire life. Got other people who will face that same bill, and guess what they do? They start panicking. I mean, they start getting nervous. They start talking. They start getting agitated with people. Why? They're dominated by their flesh. Why? That's what they've yielded to for 20 years. Well, there are other people who are spirit-led, spirit-conscious, and when they encounter something like that, guess where they check? They check the inside. They check to see, what's the witness going to say? What's the Lord going to say? How is He going to lead me in this? And friends, when you understand this, it's a whole different way of living. Now, I need to lay a foundation in this, and we'll get into what we started talking about last week. We all know that physically, your body, your flesh, can develop. Isn't that right? I mean, you take a little child, a little infant, a little baby, and I have two kids of my own. I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old now. And when they were smaller, you could see how small they were. I mean, you could just hold them in your hands. And now they're growing. They're developing. And my wallet is paying for new shoes every month and new clothes. And why? They're growing. They're physically developing. Well, they're not only developing physically, growing physically, but they're also developing mentally. Isn't that right? Their intellect is growing. It's developing. It's a beautiful day when they start learning how to talk. It's a beautiful thing when they get smart enough to know not to go to the restroom in their pants, but how to use a potty. It's a beautiful thing when their intellect grows to that place, when they can put their own clothes on and dress. It's a beautiful day. Well, what happens? They're growing mentally. They're developing mentally. Well, we don't just leave it at that. What do? We start investing in them mentally. You see all these programs, My Baby Can Read, and all of these other things that parents will buy to invest in their child. Why? So that they can develop mentally. And they know that this program could help them develop mentally faster. So what do? They invest in it. Well, they'll send them to school and buy books and other training materials and set them in a classroom for years. Why? To help them develop and grow mentally. Grow in wisdom. Well, then you see during this time they're growing physically as well. And then you see even after they reach that place of peak growth where they're not getting any taller, any bigger, what do people do? They start investing in themselves physically with exercise programs and gym memberships and exercise equipment that people haven't used in a year and a half. What are they doing? They're investing in themselves physically. Why? They know they can get sharper in that area. They know their body can be more physically fit, and so they invest in that. Well, mentally, people do the same thing. How many of you know even after your high school or college education, we should still be learning, getting sharper mentally, keeping ourselves sharp in that arena, in that area. And so we know that the body and the mind can grow, that it can develop, that it can get stronger, that it can get sharper. But most people don't think that way spiritually. Most people just think that when I get born again, that's it. Well, no, according to my Bible, and we're going to look at ample scriptures, you can grow spiritually. And the reason why so many people are not being led by the Spirit is because they've invested tons of time in developing themselves mentally and tons of years investing in themselves physically. But they've spent absolutely zero time developing themselves spiritually. And they've never sown to that area. And because they're not sowing to it, they're not growing. And because they're not growing, they're not being led. You can have someone who's been born again for 20 years in a 50-year-old body, but they're still a baby spiritually. This is why there's a lot of confusion in the church, because you had a lot of people who we've classified as elders because of age, and then they come in and start treating people bad, and the people who are coming in who are younger are thinking, well, if that's the way Christianity is, and they've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. But they don't realize that just because you look older doesn't mean you're old spiritually or wise spiritually. No, you got to develop yourself spiritually, and spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically. Spiritual growth is left up entirely to you and what you want to do with your spirit. I'll show you this. Go over to the book of Ephesians. Don't just take my word for it. Let's see some scripture. The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at this in verse 8. Ephesians 4. We'll start reading in verse 8. And if on the screens, if you can go to the Amplified and pull up verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13 in the Amplified on the screens. We're looking at Ephesians 4 and verse 8 in our Bibles. It says, wherefore he saith, when he talking about Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Notice this, God gave gifts to men, gifts to this earth. Well, what are those gifts? Well, he tells us what they are in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice God calls the ministry offices gifts. Gifts to who? Gifts to the earth. Gifts to the body of Christ. Well, what are these gifts going to do? Well, they're supposed to do certain things, and this tells us what they are supposed to do. Verse 12, for why did he put pastors on the earth, teachers on the earth, apostles? This is why. For the perfecting of the saints. Notice, the saints need perfecting. Now, let's just stop right here because this is important. When people read this word perfect in the New Testament, it trips them up. Because when they think perfect, they think it means without fault or without any type of blemish. You know, Jesus said, be ye perfect. And they think, well, no one could be perfect. And that's because our idea of perfection is different from what this word means. This word perfect in the New Testament really means mature. It means mature. God put gifts in the body of Christ to mature the saints, to grow them up, to develop the saints. Notice, the saints need maturing. They need developing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what you need to do? You need to grow up. You need perfecting, you need developing. Watch this, for the work of the ministry, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now notice the giftings that God is putting in the body, which are pastors, teachers, apostles, all of those things that he mentioned. They're for the perfecting of the saints. They're to build up the body of Christ. Well, what's the end result of all that? It's getting a perfect man. Now read this in the Amplified, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. We could say adulthood. The completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. I love this. Why did God put pastors, put teachers, put apostles in the earth today? To perfect the body of Christ. To grow them up. To mature them. Well, what's the standard of mature manhood? The standard of mature manhood is Jesus Christ. He is the example of an adult spiritually. He is the standard. And your goal is to develop spiritually until your life looks just like His. That's what mature manhood looks like. When you're full grown spiritually, you start looking like Christ. You start walking like Christ. You start talking like Christ. That's why they call us Christians, right? We ought to be like Him. Well, watch this and keep reading here. And it says that we, watch this in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, Paul is not writing to the children's church. This is not a summer camp. He is talking to full-grown physically individuals, the church at Corinth. And he's telling them there's some people who are there who are children spiritually. Oh, they look full-grown physically, and they are, but spiritually, they're still children. He says that ought not be. We ought to rise to mature manhood. And watch this. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may do what? May do what? Grow up into Him, even in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice he's writing to believers. He's writing to adults. And he says that there are some adults in the church at Corinth who are children. They're like a child spiritually. And what they need to do is grow up. Friends, if there were children in the church at Corinth, that means that all across America today, there are children in churches who are in adult bodies. But spiritually speaking, they're still like a child. They haven't ever grown up. And friends, this is the bottom line reason why people are not hearing from God like they should. Growing up. What stage of spiritual development are you on? What stage? There are stages. We're going to look at this in our Bible. We're going to look through some scriptures here. What stage of spiritual development are you on? A good way to identify yourself is if when your neighbor told you to grow up, you thought, I didn't need to. That's a good way to identify yourself. Because the more you come to recognize about the Bible, the more you see, there's so much I don't know. Even Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, said, I know in part. He was saying, there's some stuff I don't know. Well, we need to know where we're at. Why? Just like you ought to go to the physician every once in a while to get a checkup physically, make sure everything's humming away like it should, you ought to check up on yourself spiritually to make sure you're growing up. And so many people, like I said, when they think in terms of their spirit and when they think in terms of things spiritually, they don't think of themselves like a certain age spiritually. And we ought to be constantly growing until we reach full manhood, full adulthood, until we grow up in Christ where our life starts looking like His. Throughout the New Testament, we see classifications of scripture of Christians. Let's look at one, and we'll start off with infancy. We'll see this in the book of John, John chapter 3. You all know this phrase. In fact, people ask it all the time. John chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 1. We're about to read a whole bunch of scriptures here, so keep your turning finger ready. John chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? So he's saying, if you're a full grown man, how can you be born? How can you be an infant? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now we often hear that phrase, how many people were born again? Did anyone get born again? Or I am a born again Christian. But notice the verbiage that's being used when we say those things. That when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are what? Born again. Now remember Nicodemus's question. How can a man be born when he's old? He's saying, how can he be an infant again when he's a full grown man? But Jesus didn't stop using the illustration. He kept using the illustration of you must be born. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born spiritually speaking. Well, just like a baby is born in this earth, what's that make him? That makes him an infant. And as an infant, that means he's got to do what? Grow up. In fact, if our children are not growing and not developing, don't we immediately start checking out what's wrong? Because we expect that baby to start growing. And the same thing is true spiritually. Once you accepted Jesus, you were born spiritually speaking. But so many people stop it right there. They don't even think in terms of, I need to grow up spiritually. We need to think in these terms because it's got everything to do with your walk with the Lord. Go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Born again. So when I accepted Jesus, I was born spiritually speaking. And that means I need to grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 1. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. And he says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Notice, he says that there are babies in Christ. Of course there are. When they accepted Jesus, they were born again. And here he says there's some people at the church at Corinth that are still babies in Christ. Babies in Christ. We're going to look at how you can identify whether or not you're a baby, a child, or full grown. Notice there are babies in Christ. Go over to the book of Hebrews. We'll come back. You can actually hold your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And with a finger, that's why God gave you five of them on one hand. That's why he did. You can have fingers in multiple different places here. Hebrews, notice this. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 5. The book of Hebrews chapter 5. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Hebrews chapter 5, and look here in verse 12. He said, for when the time, for the time, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, and not of strong drink, or strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even though who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice he's telling these Hebrews, I want to take you further. There are some things that I want to teach you that you don't know, but you can't handle it because you're still babies in Christ. And just like naturally, notice the connotation between physical growth and spiritual growth. Just as with a newborn infant, you can't feed it a steak. You got to give it milk. He said, spiritually speaking, there are some things you can't handle because you're still a baby, spiritually speaking. So I've got to give you some milk so that you can grow up. And once you grow up, then we can start getting into some of the meat of the word. So, spiritually speaking, there are stages of development, stages of growth, just like physically speaking. When you were born on this earth, you became a baby, an infant. Then you grew into a child. Then you grew into an adolescent, a teenager. And from there, you reach manhood, adulthood, full grown. And with each stage came new freedoms, came greater liberties. Why? You grew up. Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. People are struggling with things, spiritually speaking, because they're trying to do things that only a man in Christ can do. A woman, a full-grown person in Christ can do. But they're still a babe in Christ. They haven't grown up. And then there are others who have taken a step further beyond a baby, and they're a child in Christ. Then there are some that are adolescent. Then there are some that are full-grown. We've got to grow up. And in order to grow up, we've got to admit we need to grow. Isn't that right? We got to do a checkup on ourselves and see what level of spiritual development am I on? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, back to it, and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Watch here what Paul said. He writes unto him and says, I, brethren, verse 1, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. He's talking to baby Christians here. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? I like one translation. It says you're still walking as mere men. You see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Paul starts addressing some of these issues. And apparently there was a girl in the church named Chloe. And Chloe came to Paul and told him all the strife and divisions that were in this church. And Paul mentioned her by name in chapter 1. So you know when they started reading this letter in the church, all eyes went to Chloe. Because Chloe's been telling off on all the saints there at the church. Paul says, he's writing to born-again, spirit-filled believers. He's writing unto them, he says, you're still babies. And there are some things I'd long to talk to you about, but you're not able to bear it. You're not able to hear it. I want to give you some meat, but I'm only able to give you milk because you're still babies in Christ. Now, like I said, we'll close with this. Think about a baby in the natural, an infant in the natural. You know, we've got a nursery and there are babies back there. Think about little babies, little children. They live in a very small world. You know what I mean by that? They're not thinking about China's economic growing prowess. They're not thinking about gas prices. They're not thinking about the neighbor's needs or the Poindexter Park outreach. Their world is very small. Their world is very limited. Basically, it revolves into, I want to be held, I want to be burped, I want to be changed, and I want to be fed. And that's pretty much their world, right? I mean, that's pretty much what concerns them, is their needs. So in that way, an infant, a little child, is very, I guess you could use the word, selfish. They're very, you could use this word, needy. And they're very mindful of what they need. And if they don't get what they need or want when they need it or want it, they're not hesitant to let everybody know they didn't get what they want. They didn't get what they need. You could be on an airplane and everybody on the airplane knows in seat 1A, there's a child there that's needy, that's wanting something. You could be in an airport or a restaurant and everybody around knows that there's a little baby up there who's crying and whining because they're not getting what they want. And so what does parent do? They stop. They're going to meet the needs, the wants, the desires of this baby. And sometimes they think it may need to be burped, and so they're burping it, but really the child wants to be fed. And even though they're trying to meet the need because they're not meeting the right need, they're still crying. Then they may be trying to feed them, but they don't want to be fed. They want to be changed. And so they're still whining. Even though you got you can be Christmas dinner and the whole family. I mean, grandmother and grandpa and everybody, give me the baby. No, give me the baby. And everyone's trying to calm the baby down because the baby's got a need, but no one can figure out what is the baby's need. So it's going to whine and cry and let everybody know it's got a need until that need is met. Paul said, there are some Christians. There are some adults there. But they're still babies, spiritually. The first characteristic of a spiritual baby is just what we talked about. Selfish, mindful of what they need. And because of that, guess what happens? A whole lot of strife, a whole lot of envyings, and a whole lot of division. Because they will let everyone know when they've got an issue. They can walk around a church and five people ask them, what's wrong? What's the matter? Come on, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Come on now. Just sit there and say amen, shake your head, and if you have to, go home tonight, fall across the bed and say, Lord, I repent, I'm sorry. But see, if you say amen, no one knows I'm talking to you. But if you just sit there.
Amen.
Paul said that babies, spiritual babies, they fall over very quickly into strife. Fall over very quickly into envyings. I'm telling you, friend, this love issue, it is the issue. Amen. The measure of a mature Christian, you know where it's found? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you can read over that list, especially in the Amplified, and say, that's me, and be honest, you're very close to adulthood if you're not already there. See, spiritual babes are the opposite of that. See, where love says in 1 Corinthians 13, the Amplified, that's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Spiritual babes are the polar opposite. They are touchy. They are bothered easily. They do get irritated. They do throw fits and whine when things don't go their way. And when this happens, this is not the time to get upset with them. You don't take a baby, a little infant, and because it's acting that way, treat it harshly, do you? No, because you realize it's still a what? It's just a baby. And so spiritually speaking, you got to do the same thing. If you meet people that are acting that way, don't you fall over treating them badly, because then what are you proving to yourself? You're still a baby. No, when you're growing up, when you're developing, your world gets expanded. Instead of wondering what other people are saying about you, you wonder, I hope I didn't say anything that offended them. I hope I didn't say anything that hurt their feelings. Instead of thinking, you know what, they need to be less touchy. You're thinking, nah, I shouldn't be so touchy. You know what, they need to be less resentful. I mean, they just carry a grudge for weeks and weeks and weeks. You're thinking, I need to let that go. I'm holding on to that. I know I am. I need to let that go. What are you doing when you're having that type of behavior? You're growing up. Oh, and friends, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The first characteristic of a spiritual baby, it's irritability. It's walking around and just everyone catering to its needs and everyone catering to its wants and everyone, you know, catering to, will you pray for me? It's centered around me. It's centered around trying to get people to do something to me. What's happening to me? And friends, if we're finding ourselves in that area, don't condemn yourself. What we're trying to do through this is to locate ourselves to see if there are some areas I need to grow up in. Bless God, I'm going to grow up in them because I want to walk in mature manhood. I want to build up my spirit man. I want it dominating my life because I know when I am fully developed, I'm going to be led by God like nobody's business. I'm going to know His will. I'm going to know His plan. I'm going to walk in the liberty that is found in Christ. But it all starts with making a decision. I'm going to grow up. That's the first characteristic. I could go on. I could go on all night. All night. First characteristic of a spiritual baby, getting over that irritability, that selfishness. I'll leave you with this. All throughout here, in both Hebrews and Corinthians, what do you see causes you to grow up? The milk of the Word. It's the Word of God. And friends, the more you come to church and the more you make this a priority and the more you make the Word a priority and the more you come in here hungry for the Word, friends, that Word's going to start digging out those wells like we talked about last week, and you're going to get more and more spiritually sensitive to God. You're going to grow up quickly. Have you ever seen a little kid? I mean, and maybe you didn't see him for 6 months and they hit a growth spurt in between them and the time you saw him, and man, it just looked like they grew an inch or two and just got so much bigger over a short period of time. Friends, this church, we are, not just in the natural, but spiritually speaking, we're about to hit a growth spurt. I mean, we're going to grow up quicker, and we're going to be able to do the work of the ministry, and we're going to be able to build up the body of Christ, not just this body, but God is going to use this body of believers to build up the entire body of believers. God is growing us up quickly. Amen. He's doing it. He's doing it. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads and let's pray. I'll